for my first question, Olaf, tell us what's going on with the band right now. What is Advance doing right now, and what are you guys up to?
Yeah, at the moment, we're kind of like getting ready for some live shows over here in Europe. And the difficult thing at first was to have two kind of lineups for the shows, because Alex, our drummer, he's like playing for some other bands too, and it's hard to get everyone together and when we get asked for a show to be able to do it. So I have two lineups, and that was a bit difficult at first to rehearse with the two setups, but it works out fine. Great guys. And and always like also it's a bit difficult to get Rick over here for rehearsals because he lives in Sweden and I live in Germany. And but it seems it works out good, and we have different kind of sets where we play, different lengths. So that means like 1 hour or 1.5 hour. So we have to rehearse this. That's what we did in the last 2 months. And me, myself, I was I started writing songs for the next album. I'm pretty far. I think it looks okay at the moment. And in the end of the month, Rick is coming over to record the first vocal tracks. And we see how that works out, and we hope to deliver it to the company, I hope, in July, so the company can release it at October or so. I hope so. I can do it. If I don't like the songs, then I don't deliver it. Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys have a new release out. Well, not really a new release, but you have a best of album out, and it has two discs, has a bunch of bonus tracks on it from previous albums, and talk a little bit about the best of album you guys have just released here on AFM Records.
Yeah, we had a talk with the AFM Records, and we realized it's like the 10th anniversary from the band, and they thought it's a good idea to get all the bonus tracks, all the for different releases in Japan and South America, to get all these on one CD. And we've seen that one CD is not enough, like as an extra CD. And so we decided to do a best of thing. And it was very difficult for me to pick songs. Some of the songs I had like first in mind, like where I say that had to be on the best of. But some of them I really had a hard time like choosing them, because I had to get a good selection from all the albums, and I realized how much actually it is at the moment. It's like it's 8 albums and so much music, but you forget about it when you just write and play and record, and you forget about all the work which you've done. But I hope I did make a good selection and didn't forget anything. Yeah.
Well, the one thing I really liked about this but I keep thinking that old compilation that you have. But what I really like about your two CD best of is you have a best of on the first disc, which, you know, to me, you know, it doesn't best of albums with no unreleased material or bonus tracks really don't do anything for me. But what I thought was great is that you had a second disc with basically all the bonus tracks that had previously been unavailable to people for quite some time. And even tracks, there were tracks on there that weren't even on the remastered versions of, say, like Dragon Chaser and some of the older albums. But the one song, I'll tell you what, on this best of, the one song that stood out to me, and it was, of course, named after, it was a song that was in a very famous movie over here in the U.S., in the third Rocky movie called Eye of the Tiger. You guys did a cover of that, and I've never heard of a metal band doing a cover of Eye of the Tiger, and I thought it was awesome. It's actually my favorite bonus track. And Olaf, why did you decide to do this cover of Eye of the Tiger?
Actually, it's kind of a bit of a funny story. I do like a running thing every day. I run every day about 10 kilometers over here, and we have some nice stairs, like similar to the first movie from Rocky. Mm-hmm. And I always like when I go up these stairs when I end my running, then I just hum the just for fun. And the old guys kept asking me, like, we have old people there, like about 80 years, like, what's this music? Would you like hum? I said, yeah, that's from Rocky, you know, the cool movie, you know, the Eye of the Tiger. And they really didn't know, because they're from there. Like they're so old, yeah. That's why I said, oh, I gotta put the song, make the song new. And it was always in my head because I really liked it to play it. And actually, it was a challenge for me to. I could have looped the diggy 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 dig in the beginning, but I played it actually though. It was an exercise for me to play for about 3.5 minutes to have the 16 notes going really, really, really straight. Really fun to do. So it's the song, and it's like actually it's a bit funny story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still going. It's like 10 years ago that I've done it.
Now, a best of album is something that, you know, when you look at it, you're looking at the course of a band's career. And you've worked with some pretty good musicians over the course of the career of your career with this band. And, you know, I had Oliver Hartman, you know, Matt Slevin. He had some great vocalists in this band. And talk about each one of these guys, even Rick, your newest vocalist. Talk about each one of these guys a little bit, Oliver. Talk about what was great about working with each one of these guys. And talk a little bit about that.
With Oliver, it was like... We had been friends since we were 16 years old, and we played together in centers, and we know each other for a long time. And we were just friends at that time, and just played together just for fun. And it was easy to work with him. Like I made the songs, and he just came over and sang it. It was really like a friend kind of thing. But then. People change throughout the years, maybe with relationships and all that. So we had to stop working together. And but he's still a great singer, fantastic voice, good range, and all that. And I really wanted to keep the same vibe for Advance when I looked for another singer. And I found a cool replacement with Mats. He has the same rough edge, but maybe just. He's a bit more versatile, I must say. He's like more experienced and different styles of music. So that was really cool for me to work with him. Like very, very professional. And we did some good touring with him. Very reliable guys. And then live playing. But he kind of moved on. He wanted to do different type of music. As you can see now in the things what he's doing. Which is okay with me. But I didn't want to change the sound of the music so much, and he wanted something different, so we decided not to do it anymore, this kind of thing. And then, actually, I was a bit frustrated with the whole market situation, the same, what you mentioned in the beginning of the of your show, is that it becomes so hard to do all this, you know, the people don't really appreciate all the work and they don't see it, so I was a bit frustrated. And then Rick gave me a call and he asked me to play on a demo song from him, and he sent me some tracks, and I really liked his voice, and so I gave him a call and I talked to him, and he sounded really nice. So I flew over to Sweden, and we spent a couple of days together, did some talking, and it felt like very, very similar to the relationship I had with Oliver in the beginning. And so it kind of felt good to keep on doing this. So now we're here, and I'm working on the third album together with Rick, and it seems like he's still a great guy and really nice to work with, really uncomplicated and cool singer.
Now, you've written some songs for your upcoming album, Olaf, and how does the new material compare to, say, the past material this band has put out over the last 10 years?
It's very hard to in a way invent yourself new with every album. I mean, you have to stick to the stuff, to the style what you do, and the people expect the same kind of sound, and but still new songs. And with every album, I think it becomes harder to do cool riffs, and I really want to come up with cool new chords, cool new phrasing and all that. But I'm trying my best, and I don't want to repeat myself, but still, the songs have to be a bit similar in a way to have the type of Advance sound. And I just did like a cover version from Tokyo, a song, like a charity thing. And it was fun for me to, again, to adapt this, these all these advanced elements, the sounds, and to make it sound like the same with Eye of the Tiger, I think. Mm-hmm. And it was fun to have hearing Vic sing that song, and it gets to say this type of advanced vibe. But it's getting there. It's a bit more, I think, a bit bluesy in a way, some bits. It's not so much, it's still power metal, but it's not so much power metal as it was before, because I think Rick has such a cool, bluesy, warm voice, and I kind of have to pay dues for my songwriting with that.
Mm-hmm. Germany seems to be like the mecca for heavy metal. I mean, for so long, this music has stayed really, has had a great fan base over there, and it seems to not only it really hasn't died down, but it seems to be getting bigger in Germany without radio play or anything like that. And you know, so heavy metal in Germany has just been it's consistently been pretty big for the past, you know, 20, 30 years. And you know, just out of curiosity, why is that? You know, in the U.S., it depends on where you are at and what, you know, what year it is. But in Germany, it seems that consistently people should go to shows, and the fan base is just there. And Olaf, why is that? Why is Germany like the capital of heavy metal in the world?
I think it's a point of view what these people have. And what I realized is the older people give it to their kids, like it's a kind of an attitude what they have. Like right now, they organized like a big party boat where they have metal bands playing, like Rage and all these, and mm-hmm. Gamma Ray playing on the boat. And it was so much fun for all the people to go there. Very cool, peaceful. I mean, okay, some cool drinking parties, yeah. But as they showed it on the TV, they really said it's like it was amazingly cool and peacefully, the people were so relaxed, and they expected it to be a really rough party, like a biker party with all whatever, with, I don't know, with fights, but nothing like this happened. And I think the people and all the kids, it's a really, really social community. They like kids, and they just wear black shirts. I mean, that looks a bit scary, and maybe the older guys are a bit big, that they're not as pretty as Brad Pitt, okay, I must admit that, but still, it's like so nice guys, and very friendly, and maybe that's why it's a good community, and it works for all this time.
Now I'm curious, Olaf, do you ever get any response from the U.S., and have you ever thought about maybe playing over here, even for like a festival or something like that, if you had any offers? And do you possibly have any plans to play over here in the USA?
We had an offer, but it kind of didn't work out because we couldn't play live. I don't know why, and I can't remember. But it seems that we're going to play in Florida at the end of the year at the Power Fest.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one show at least in the U.S. we can do. But I'd love to do a tour or a play in festival. I'd love to do it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Olaf, you have a really nice classical influence on your guitar playing if you go back and listen to all of your albums. And my question for you is this. You know, what musicians really had the biggest impact on you? And, you know, on top of that, are there any bands or musicians nowadays that you really listen to that you really like quite a bit? And talk a little bit about that, you know, because I'm interested to hear what your influences are.
There's like maybe some German artists I'd like to listen to. I really still like some bootleg tapes from Sean Lane that I've been always there in my car, like really fantastic, amazing guitar playing. And but I have a collection of Diane Krall albums, a bit jazz type of thing, because there's like not much power metal albums that are really like new albums that I think really give me so much. I love the Stradivarius stuff, the older stuff. Pretty cool, produced, and But on the new albums, it's hardly. I had to listen to Bring Me the Horizon, to that stuff. That's okay, in a way, but not so much virtuosity. I think a big problem nowadays in the new generation is that the kids don't pay so much, so attention to practice all the like the hard stuff. They really want to get out on stage without much practicing. And, they have all the equipment so quick. It's so easy to get a good guitar sound nowadays, so you don't have to work hard for that, to practice long. And that's what I see. The technical level is a bit lower nowadays in the new generation.
You know, and it's funny you say that, because, you know, if you notice the veteran metal bands like your Rage and Helloween and Gamma Ray, and many of these bands that have been putting out albums for a long time, they seem to put out great records, but, you know, you don't see much new stuff. I mean, even Saxon, there's another great example of a band that really just keeps putting out great material the older that they get. And, you know, but there aren't many new great bands, and you know what I'm saying?
That's a big problem. I just seen Motorhead in November, last November, and then before I seen Saxon, and it's like, Biff's like singing fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's 60 years old, but he just blows you away. Just so cool. Great show. The whole band, drummer, everyone, really tight playing, good sound, great, fantastic.
Is it hard to believe that he's 60?
It's really amazing. He puts on a show like I do some singing myself, and I know how hard it is to doing the show, do all the talking, and still keep the intonation. It's like amazing.
So let's talk a little bit about your early musical idols. I mean, who really inspired you to play guitar? You know, who are the musicians, Olaf, that had the biggest impact on you and inspired you to become a guitar player and a musician?
It's definitely Sean Lane would it be. It's Michael Hedges, then Richie Blackmore, Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath, Angus Young from AC/DC is still great. It's like amazing playing, such a small guy and so much power to him. Good technique, and then some jazz guys like McLaughlin and Benson, they all, Kenny Burrell. The thing is, I have so many different musical tastes, and I play a couple of instruments, so it's very hard for me to, I put the influences from all the different instruments and styles into all one thing, so it's a bit hard for me to reduce it to guitars. Glenn Hughes talked about like singers, and he amazed me. Ronnie James Dio amazed me. Glenn Hughes as a bass player too, it's so funky. Steve Wonder too. And I don't see it as like one style to reduce it to one style of music. It's just I think as long as the music is done with passion, and then the guys who do it with passion, they have good technique and do it very soulful and tasteful songs, maybe in a different way of approaching music. Some guys do it funky, so like Jamiroquai, a fantastic band, and the guitarist is really, really cool, but they're just not power metal stuff. But then again, I know some power metal bands who just blow me away. It's like, but I can't, it's hard for me to reduce it in one style and one musician to approach it technically. If you have technical idols like Sean Lane, Ollie Mueller, these guys really blew me away technically. Or drummers like Dean Castronovo, Virgil Donati on drums. But then music is what counts. I mean, as long as it touches you, then it's good.
You know, I just talked a little bit about how earlier, how people, you know, I have a lot of people nowadays that don't rehearse, that really don't play music the way they should. And, you know, that's, of course, a product of the digital age now, that people are able to, that people do that. And, you know, the music industry has changed so much in the last 10 years. And, you know, what do you think are the good points of the changes and the bad points of the changes, especially in the digital age?
I think it's the challenge, the communication between what's happening in all the different countries, and who's like there's some outstanding talents would have been never discovered without YouTube. It's like really great to see that. The competition is a bit better. But if I would have the choice, maybe I would tell everybody just download and copy as much as you can. So the music industry has to do something. So as long as there's some income from iTunes or whatever, yeah, I would advise the people to steal as many music as they can. So then they have to do it, yeah, because that's the problem. Mm-hmm. And smaller bands like me, like Advance, they are the first to lose interest in doing that, because it's like when last time I did the album, I seen the press release 1 week before the actual release on Rapture. That was a bit frustrating. Mm-hmm. To download, but it's okay in a way, as long as it's possible and it's so easy to do it. I mean, my father can do it if he wants to. He just has to type in the name to at the end. It's so easy to download it, you know, to get it. And so I think everyone should really not buy any CD, not buy anything. As if it's possible to get it from the net, then just get it. Mm-hmm. And so, and same with movies. And then the companies have to think about what can we do. We have to get licenses for CD burners or whatever, anything. They have to think of something. Mm-hmm. Like put a tax of who's consuming music. They have to put a tax. Boom. That's how I would do it, but it's not in my.
That's the actual opposite way of what anybody else says.
but I think it's like if you we have a saying, I don't know if it's right to translate, but if you bark with the dogs just a bit louder, mm-hmm. then you have to do something.
I gotcha. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah.
Now you said you're going to be playing some shows here pretty soon, and you know, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, in Florida, like Power Fest.
Oh, okay. And, you know, what type of reception have you had from people over here in the U.S.? I mean, what type of, do you ever get, you know, emails or anything like that from people here in the States?
We had many mails, and people always ask, you know, please tour, you know, the country. But since the U.S. is so big, you know, it's hard to get good promoters. So if anyone in your hears promoters, then just contact us via our website and try to get something going. Maybe we hop on a tour with some whatever band, just do support for them, and so then it would kind of be possible. But the organizational thing with the find a good promoter is the main thing to do it, actually.
Gotcha.
Now I was checking out your personal website, Olaf, and I noticed you have some videos, YouTube videos. Almost like kind of like guitar instructional videos and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm just curious, do you plan on maybe expanding a little bit about that? Maybe doing guitar lessons on YouTube, for example?
I was thinking, actually, but anyway, I don't have to. The thing is, if you put it on YouTube, I can just show some people how to play this and that. But then, then everybody's like just downloading it for free, you know. And obviously, like, the pay website, it doesn't work at the moment, and I don't want to put so much time into that. I was really thinking about doing it. I wrote two books about guitar playing, one for beginners and one for a bit more advanced players. And but like I said before, the young people don't really have the patience of getting really deep into guitar. Then you have some a bit cheesy stuff on YouTube that's like Bet You Can Play This stuff, which is you know, the thing is, I like to play if the song is technically is on a high level, and then I like to play fast stuff. But you know, music is not about like competition. I think it's when you have the power to do it and you have the technique to do it, or you want to have the technique, then you have to practice. But not, it's not like a show off thing. You know, how fast can you play this, or mm-hmm. That's more for the circus, you know?